This is IGN.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Thanks for the memories. This is your IGN review of Sandland by Michael Higham. Game adaptations are a tricky business. In trying to capture the spirit of a comic, show, or movie while also abiding by the conventions often demanded of a video game, something is likely to get lost in the translation. Sandland, the open-world adaptation of the titular manga by the late, great Akira Toriyama, is a prime example of such a case. In many respects, it's wonderful to see the world of Sandland at this scale with some of its original charm coming through at key moments, and its emphasis on vehicles for exploration and combat gives it a unique gameplay focus. But the majority of its roughly 25-hour runtime equates to a very by-the-numbers action-adventure, where everything else around it, from storytelling to quest design, left me feeling rather underwhelmed. Sandland isn't necessarily a deep examination of the human condition, nor is it intended to be, but its premise of demons and humans coexisting in an arid wasteland fighting comically corrupt governments makes for an immediate hook. The struggle for resources, particularly water, unravels to become more about building a resistance, making amends for grave mistakes from the past, and the lengths its villains will go to cling on to power and control. You control the childish fiend Prince Beelzebub, whose soft side always wins out, regardless of how often he proclaims to be the scariest, most evil demon around. He's consistently endearing and brings characters together like the shamed veteran Rao and genius mechanic Anne for a fun group that unpacks their dark histories throughout the journey. Sandland's best qualities are found in its vehicle system, which it smartly relies on for most of its gameplay. You can load up to 5 vehicles to take with you, and then instantly summon each one on the fly, all of which offer a variety of use cases and specific strengths. The old reliable tank was my go-to for combat, but in tight spaces, the jump bot's maneuverability gave me a distinct advantage, and its mortar shells were just strong enough to take down enemy bots. Later on, you also get a special mech that mixes both melee and ranged abilities, which packs a mean punch and is required for a few puzzles along the main quest. Quests like these contain some notable highlights that come to surface with a few interesting boss fights or dungeon-like scenarios that challenge you to aptly wield your roster of vehicles. Infiltrating enemy strongholds, for example, often have distinct stealth sections to break up the pace, followed by some explosive mech and tank battles. One sequence led me through a labyrinthine ruin to sprinkle in puzzles and get me used to controlling a newly acquired hoverbot before pitting me against an imposing Kraken boss. It made for some satisfying chaos where I used the hoverbot to tread water before swapping to my tank on safe spots at opportune moments for big damage. Individually, these elements aren't particularly outstanding, but they are solid enough that they create some enjoyable moments when mixed together. Keeping your favorite vehicles in top shape is important too, and that's where the crafting and gathering elements of Sandland come into play. You'll need to upgrade them consistently to stay within enemy levels, and thankfully, most of the resources required to keep the pace come to you naturally through enemy drops and items found in the open world along the way. Customizing each of them with specific weapons or swapping different engines and chips genuinely affects how they function, and it's nice to actually feel the tangible difference once you've upgraded a vehicle or changed its parts. I'm happy to see Sandland get a second win with an open-world action game, and it can sometimes adapt the series in impressive ways. But while there is the potential of an interesting expansion of the manga here, it doesn't manage to replicate what Toriyama's panels were able to illustrate so effectively. Beneath some ho-hum dialogue and stilted cutscenes is a fun story with its heart in the right place, and Beelzebub and friends at least have the charisma to carry you through to the end alongside a quirky set of supporting characters and villains. Dialing in on vehicular combat and exploration pays off to both maintain the spirit of the original work and deliver some high points, but the quests themselves fall into repetition. Thus, Sandland suffers the same fate we've seen in many other game adaptations of anime and manga. Competent in several respects with a few moments of brilliance, but for the most part, a simply okay adventure that can only occasionally capture what makes the source material special. Sandland's IGN score? 6. Thanks for listening to IGN. My name is Tony Jackson, and for the latest Sandland updates, visit us at IGN.com.
Spoken Layer.